views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special featured 1990s alt country darlings, the old 97s, and I was like, yay!
Or like Kevin Bacon.
Or Kevin Bacon.
Like from the 80s. Kevin like Bacon, the 80s.
Mm, who are they aiming for?
Yeah, let me see. Mm.
You know those 17-year-old kids that are big old 97 stands?
Yeah.
All three of them.
All three
They're
of them,
all from,
yeah.
like, Idaho.
Yeah.
But it has made it tough because it's really hard to realize when things happened in the past now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what happened in 2022. I don't know if it might have been 2020 when it happened.
I do struggle with that. Yeah. Like, is that this year?
Oh, it's a that... big ball of 3 years of just...
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, nothing actually happened. It either happened 3 years ago or 2 months ago and later. Like, there's no...
In my mind, January 6th happened every year... since the election, since like 2016, there's been a January 6th.
Well, you've had
year.
That convenient, you know, court here, you know, the hearings that yeah. help remind you of it. So mm-hmm. you're like, that was yeah. last this like no. earlier
yeah,
this year.
Clearly, had to have been this January if they're still holding
exactly.
Yeah,
these things.
Yeah.
Oh no, two years ago.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I like that. My response. I've been talking with people about, you know, favorite movies of the year, and I've had some people say, well, the Marvel movies have been kind of weak this year. I'm like, no, the Spider-Man movie was pretty good this year.
The
No Way Home
yeah.
from 2022.
Yeah.
Yes. We're talking about 2 weeks before 2022. So
it was still the big, like, biggest release of 2021, and it landed on Christmas. Come on, man. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Actually, we got a cornucopia of rich media this year. In a way that even I don't really fully appreciate until you look back on the year and you're like, wow, we had some freaking bangers this year.
Yeah. Forgot that Stranger Things came out again this year.
Yeah, that was this year.
Yeah.
But that's what this episode is going to be all about. Old men trying to remember.
I think that was this year.
We need some Ember Berries, folks.
Yeah,
Ember
Berries. No, this is the Year in Review 2022 episode of Geeks Under the Influence. We're going to be talking about our favorite movies, favorite TV shows. Memories from 2022
mm-hmm.
For the end of the year, what we liked, what we didn't like from 2022. So buckle up and get your member berries ready. Yeah, because we are hitting year review from Geeks Under the Influence. Welcome!
Did y'all time that shit out? That was kind of scary.
What day is it?
This year had some really great parts of this year. Also, it's just like, I don't know. Like, I'm just waiting for the end days at this point. Like,
yeah. Something's got to give.
That's not just, you know, all the depression, like the constant end of the world from the beginning of this year. It's not just that. It's just you're getting old and you're starting to realize that you're getting old. So welcome, my friend. I have been holding this seat for you for
yeah.
Keeping it warm.
There is a calm that kind of comes over you when you reach a certain age where you realize that you don't matter anymore.
Not at all.
Yeah.
That you're not special.
You're not special. Nobody's looking out for you anymore. Like, even the movies and TV shows that you come to know and love, you start bitching about, it's the fucking new bullshit. Yeah. You're in your 40s. The cartoon movie that you are watching isn't focused on you anymore.
You don't even know what the culture is, old man.
I don't care about this teen and her problems. Good, because you're in your 40s.
You're not the target audience anymore.
It would be so creepy if you did.
Right?
Yeah, I think most demos are like, you know, like late or early 20s to like mid 30s. So we're out of a lot of the demos of what they're targeting for advertising or anything like that. So if we complain, we don't fucking matter.
Yeah, we don't.
Yeah.
They don't care.
Shut up, old timer.
But the thing is,
it's like, give money to your children to go see us.
Yeah.
You can fuck up.
Exactly. Like, something didn't get communicated between the last time this happened and now about, like, no, this is why our parents gave us money and they told us to fuck off and go do the thing.
No, I think what it is that there's this, like, You know when you're in line at a gas station and there's the old fucker that has lottery tickets at the front that like scratchers and it's taking 20 minutes to go through and everybody else is like, just go.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what's happening with cultures. The boomers have scratchers and they are waiting at the front of the line. They refuse to relinquish control of just pop culture, business, just the world in general. And so Gen X is like, we are like 10 years past when we should have taken over this
Come
shit.
On, guy. We gave you Top Gun, man. Just let our shit through.
Hold on. I think I got one more scratcher in my pocket. And Gen X is at the point where now the millennials are like, our shift's about to start, actually. And Gen X is like, so just fuck us then, I guess, right?
How weird is that? How weird. Like, Gen X, it's gone. We are no longer the main characters at all. Millennials are the adult. The adult main characters.
No, Gen X has always been Meg from Family Guy. Just like, shut up, Gen X. Don't go sit in your room and listen to fucking records.
Well, that's the other reason why we haven't taken over the reins either, because we don't want to.
Yeah. We just got used to fucking off and watching movies and like listening to records and like delving into pop culture. And so now that that's gone too, but we don't get the other part, like the riches and the affluence. We're like, oh, So I just work at Lowe's.
You get to have $20,000 worth of Funko Pops to show for it. So,
right? So it evens out.
The balance there, yeah.
Retirement package. The Beanie Babies of Gen X is a
God damn it. That is so true. It's so fucking sad.
It is, yeah.
Mm. They're going to have probably the same resale value as Beanie Babies did.
Don't tell Scotty that. I believe he has a room with a wall of them. So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's a lot of Funko Pops.
Just don't expect to make any.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I still think they look cool. But if you're like, this is my retirement fund, you might be in trouble.
I do that with my comics where I'm like, ooh, this comic's worth $80. I'm never selling that comic. That's not going anywhere.
Yeah, if you had it squished between plexiglass and in your vault.
I don't want to be like in a Mission Impossible thing, like on razor wires, like hanging from the ceiling, turning a page with tweezers, just in case I rip it or something.
Actually, that's more like National Treasure.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's like Nick Cage.
Head to toe latex. You
know. Wait. Yeah. Which National Treasure? Because there's now a.
We got to steal another appearance of Wolverine.
Another generation National Treasure. So you got to tell us what you're talking about.
There's no Nick Cage.
Speaking of the worst of 2022, I tried to watch the first episode of the National
it's
Treasure
terrible. Show.
No.
It's fucking garbage.
Yeah,
and like,
it's not good.
Let that suck, because the other series that came out pretty close, Willow, I
love it.
That's what I'm saying. So
it's
National Treasure,
joy.
National Treasure, you can suck. I don't care, as long as Willow's good, because I don't have a connection with National Treasure.
So are you
the way
watching
I do Willow
currently?
What's that?
Are you watching Willow?
Yeah.
Same. And I much rather this way than Switched.
That's what I'm saying.
Just like, Willow sucks, but that National Treasure series is charming.
Really got me.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
No, Willow's a blast. An absolute blast. I'm really excited. I'm kind of bummed that, like, we're winding things down on regular releases of the episode, because I remember even, like, 2 or 3 years ago, there were being mention of a series starting, and Smash being like, when Willow comes out, man, I gotta be on that. I gotta be on that episode. Now I'm like, yeah, so about that episode.
It
doesn't finish until like the end of January.
Sorry.
It's close.
Sorry. Maybe it'll be a Geekfather.
Swing and a miss.
Right.
The Q3 show can be all Willow all the time.
Right. Now that we're like a quarter of the way through the episode, let me introduce the panel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Real quick, from my co-host on Smack My Pitch Up, when we eventually decide to start doing episodes again, Tondi is here.
Someday soon. Hey, kids.
Hey.
We've got Mouths of Madness and Beautiful Disasters co-host, Fuck You Hunter.
What's up, bitches?
And, of course, my partner in crime here and the host of Mouths of Madness, we got Lowdown Brown.
What's going on, everybody?
Yay.
I'm excited. So I've yet to start watching Willow. It's on the list. I just have not started watching it yet. I kind of want to go back and watch the movie first.
I know you like to binge if you can, so.
Yeah, I like to at least get, like, 3 or 4, maybe 5 episodes in, like, as if it's releasing weekly before I start it. Sure. That way I'm always kind of behind it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, so. Because limited time to watch TV, so if I can, you know, etch out, like, 3 hours or 2 hours, you normally knock out, like, 3 episodes.
Man, 2022 was the year of, like, Val Kilmer vehicles that get remade, and then they have
to
do some kind of, like, homage to Val Kilmer.
Is this a spoiler if you mention Val Kilmer about the Willow series? Because I was wondering.
I mean,
if
he's not in it. It's not like old, like almost dead Val Kilmer as Mad Mardigan.
Okay.
Like, no, but they do a thing in it, and I won't mention what. They kind of, like, pays proper respect to the character.
Okay.
You know, that he's brought up lovingly and often in the series.
Gotcha.
So.
Gotcha. The man who is just loves the Willow series. I mean, because you talked about it after, like, the first episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first episode was good.
Look, you don't have to do much to please me with a Willow series. You have little fucking people running around doing magic, and then you got big people making fun of the little people and doing magic less good. And then that's it. That's all you have to fucking do. And I'm and then there's, like, fucking... They have to go on a journey of discovery. Great.
Mm.
Great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's yeah. It doesn't have to be anything all that impressive. Like, are there monsters? Yeah. Is a wand shown at a point? Yep. Great. Done.
Gotcha.
Hey, I was all about Xenon, the legendary Hercules adventures in the 90s, so I'm down.
Man, you try to watch those. Hercules more than Xena does not age the best. It's just as awkward. Xena still has some kind of, like, kitschy charm to it, mm-hmm. to a degree.
Yeah, because she's badass.
Well, it's also Lucy Lawless.
Lawless, dude. Come on, man.
Charming.
No, we had some pretty cool stuff this year.
We did. I agree.
The best movie category,
mm.
I'm definitely intrigued to see who is wrong and didn't pick the Weird Al movie.
But... So, three of the four?
Yeah, three of the four. Yeah. No. Like, the Weird Al was amazing. Don't get me wrong. Very fun movie. But
that was actually a hard one. For me,
it was hard until I was like, no, it has to be this one. But I mean, I'm interested. What did everybody pick for best movie for 2022?
I feel like everybody knows what my best movie is because I've been selling it all year long. So there's two things: there's a best movie and a best cinematic experience. But that's the movie. So I'm going with the best cinematic experience.
Uh huh.
Top Gun Maverick was my favorite movie.
Tom, you know, on the same fucking page with that. Really? I was. Cinematic experience, yes. Now, I struggled between cinematic experiences for me personally, and this is like best movie, then best movie with a bias to it was Batman.
Batman was very good.
Batman, that was really fucking good.
And I would
really
say fucking good. That might be, as much as I really did enjoy Wakanda Forever, as far as like superhero movies goes, The Batman might be the best superhero movie of the year.
I do think that is true.
That would be true for me if it were tighter. Yeah,
it's a little long-winded for sure. Yeah,
but again, in the same instance, even though I do love both movies, Wakanda Forever was a little like long-winded at times too with things.
Yeah, no, definitely.
In order to pay homage too, but it still made it long-winded. You know?
Oh, definitely. No, I think I agree. I think that the Batman was probably the best superhero movie. I think my favorite superhero movie was Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange can't be fun, but I don't know.
Batman was probably the best superhero movie.
I got one out of left fucking park, and it just came on Netflix, and I raved about it when I saw it. I love fucking Bullet Train. I'm sorry, but
I finally watched it.
Bullet Train is hilarious.
That was a movie that I was just like, I know there's probably stuff I've seen that might be a little bit better than this, but I'm having so much fucking fun watching this movie.
Hard though.
Did I tell you about that, or did you just?
Well, and that's the thing. It's fun, but it's not great.
It's not.
That movie is a blast, though.
No, I agree. I enjoyed it too, but it's doing too much.
But that's what maybe it is. Is that I just needed something. I needed something not so fucking heavy. Like I just like
it's like
they just don't give a shit.
The director was like, I really like Guy Ritchie, but I'm not Guy Ritchie.
Yeah,
and that's what Bullet Train was, right? Like I mean,
it's like Guy Ritchie by way of Australian dude. Or, I'm sorry, New Zealand dude, Taika.
Taika, yeah. Definitely does have, like, Snatch, Lock, Stock, rock and roll feels.
Well, it's got the ensemble assassin thing going, which, you know, you got Smoke and Aces and shit, where, I mean, we've had this movie before.
Bro, but Ryan Reynolds cameo, though. Come on.
Oh, great.
Come on.
I also learned I'm getting kind of impatient with movies over 2 hours. I know that sounds funny, but I think that was one of the other things.
I feel that way a little bit.
Yeah.
I think you need to really properly justify why you're over 2 hours for me.
Ding, ding, ding.
Bullet Train, for example, that's an easy 90-minute movie if you really wanted it.
And they kept it 90 minutes. They didn't go over, for no reason.
A movie called Bullet Train, don't make that a long movie.
Yeah.
Bullet Train. And you know who didn't get the memo on that? Damien Leone. That's all I'm going to say about Terrifier 2. Yeah. It did not need to be 2 hours and 10 minutes. Fuck that.
I'll say the other one I had, I guess, is honorable mention or whatever like that, but Everything Everywhere All at Once.
That is my pick
yeah.
for the best for the year. Because
we're
talking
that.
About cinematic experience. I'm so glad I got the chance to see that in the theater, because what they did for the, especially for the budget they had.
Yeah.
That was just planning ahead, like intensely planning ahead to be able to pick up, like they did pick up shots where they just wandered around the city with this camera for months and then compiled that for just a scene that was like 12 seconds.
I think you saw it close to right after it opened, right?
Yeah, right after it opened.
See, I didn't see it for probably about 2 or 3 weeks, and I'd heard everybody raving about it, and I went in and was still fucking blown away. I was like, fuck, I was expecting to be, I had trusted sources that said it was good, still wasn't expecting to be that level.
No, it's a great experience. It's a great experience.
It is, it hits so many different, like, emotional places for me. There's the generational trauma aspect of it that hits, like, even as somebody that is definitely not somebody that can properly identify with the main characters. Like, this is like an immigrant couple that has a kid that is an American sensibilities, but they don't. And that challenge of trying to understand one another. My mom was from Connecticut. Like, I don't. Yeah, that's not really something I have to worry about so much. But like, even so, you do have an understanding of challenges between generations. And there's enough connective tissue in that story that everybody can at least relate to it to a degree. And it's hitting that. It's hitting humor. It's hitting, like, even the idea, the feeling of, like, pointlessness of the universe, the nihilistic nature of the universe is hit very, very directly in this movie.
It takes a lot for me to almost be crying laughing. And there are a couple parts of that movie I'm like,
gut,
just like tears. Oh. I'm just laughing. I like lost it that first time I watched it.
But then there's also moments that are like tear jerkingly emotional and like intense and powerful as fuck.
Now, it's the Golden Globes, so it's not really that important. But I don't know if you saw who got nominated from that, but fucking Short Round.
I know.
Supporting
and
actor
good for
nomination.
Him, he deserves it.
Yeah, he did a great job, which is, he hasn't done anything like that. I think he was in production or something when they pulled him in.
Yeah, he did a lot of behind the scenes stuff at that point. And he decided, like, 2 weeks before he put his hat in the ring for this movie to get back into acting. And then he put his hat in the ring and was like, hey, this looks like a cool movie. And they're like, great, you're on, you're good. And then, gets nominated for shit because he's incredible.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's amazing. But Everything Everywhere All at Once is proof that there's still original ideas that can that can exist and be successful.
And from a studio, I mean, A24, that like, more is horror related. Like, you go, okay, I trust them now with their horror properties.
When it's Oscar with a non-horror related property.
Right.
In Moonlight, so.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
It is known for horror, but they have a lot of
indie style.
Yeah, very indie style.
But before we leave this category, there is one more movie that I want to put up as the third pillar of movies for 2022, which is RRR.
Yes. Holy shit. Yeah. That is such a fucking good time.
Also, just like, this was the year of roller coaster movies that broke out of the kind of studio IP framework that we had been living in for so long. And RRR was a pleasure. It was a spectacle like Top Gun, but a completely different sensibility is represented, like completely different. And there is nothing cynical in it. It's just about dude bro love and complete ridiculousness.
It's guy love. Guy love.
It is 100%. It makes you realize how much of, like, and I'm not saying that there isn't toxic masculinity in like other cultures outside of America, but like the things that are like no homo kind of shit in the US is not a problem elsewhere. It's like dudes being like, I love you. Like, let's hold hands. You know? It's not seen as any kind of weird issue whatsoever in other countries. The United States, you try to pull that shit with the wrong person, they're going to be like, what the fuck, man? Except our group of friends. Like,
But yes, the level of fraternal brotherhood that these dudes build and then break and then build and then destroy, like, the entire British Empire with the strength of their mighty thews. It is, and this movie is long as shit, too.
It's like, like 4 hours.
And it does not feel like a long as shit movie, because it is just.
I just want to rewatch it.
Yeah, it is incredible.
I need to watch it.
It's a group watch.
They're breaking into song about, like, you're the most powerful fighter I've ever met, and, like, I'm a better person for having you as a friend, my brother from another mother. And then just, like,
There's a freaking dance battle to dance save battles, the universe.
Yeah, it's
called
tigers.
RRR.
Like they unleash tigers at one. Like it's fucking wild.
Oh, the shitty CGI animals.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Incredible.
They did it's called RRR.
Yeah. RRR.
And it's on Netflix, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a blast.
That's the one that has the guy go into the crowd and just beat the shit out of people
for
like
the whole crowd.
Yeah, the whole crowd. Like there's like what, like 100 people pissed the fuck off at least.
Oh no, there's like 2,000
okay.
people.
But I'm just saying he goes in there and just, all right, I'm gonna punch you.
Terminators through the crowd. It is such an amazing movie.
It's got Ray Stevenson in it too, randomly.
Yeah.
The Streak.
The Punisher is in there.
The Punisher is in there as like a British officer.
Ray Stevenson.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And
who's the guy I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of Ray Stevens. Who's the guy who was the Streak?
Yeah, Ray Stevens.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Stevens.
Oh, yeah, they called him the Streak. Yeah. Look at it. He ashamed of his feet.
Yeah, that's the reference I'm throwing at.
I was like, okay.
RRR for sure. Definitely needs a mention. That's such a blast. I need to watch the Bollywood movie that just dropped on Disney, which is like their cinematic universe, superhero universe that they're opening up.
Saw that some movies had, I didn't see where they dropped, but I did see that some Indian movies had come out with the...
More and more the streaming services are starting to bring in like titles from outside of the States, and I'm here for it. Like I've never been bothered by reading subtitles, and like talk about if you want to find some original content, break out of just the US movie market and you're going to find some different takes.
Can we throw out there real quick just my top streaming movie went on just streaming service and, you know, Harder They Fall was probably
so much fun.
Probably, yeah, it came on Netflix, like, but by far of all the streaming movies that come out, top notch.
You want to do a Western that has like an exploitation kind of vibe to it? I mean, fuck. And done very, very well shot, like, pretty movie.
That's beautiful. It didn't.
White Town is literally a town painted white. It's like
very clean Western.
Yeah,
clean, bright, like shining Western.
It was very clean, and some of the dialogue, I feel like, was a little off step, but I enjoyed it.
I need to watch it again.
Yeah,
because enough people.
I enjoyed it, but it wasn't. It's not a perfect movie.
How many movies that premiere on a streaming site are you just like, hey, you should check this shit out? Because
it happens from time to time.
Yeah. Once in a while.
I saw one on Netflix called The Immaculate Room that I thought was really impressive for just a two-hander, random two-hander in a room, which is how you do cheap movies.
Yep.
Two-handers in a room.
That's like trying to figure out. I have a couple ideas for scripts that I'm working on that are actually considering having no budget as part of the framework of the movie. So sometimes you gotta. But, you know, and sometimes having those limits is what creates something interesting and different, like the movie Coherence that came out a few years ago that has literally no budget. Like, there's no, it's shot bad. Like, you can tell they didn't do a lot of takes. I think the biggest name in it is the dude that played Xander and Buffy. It's like the biggest name they got. And it's a great little film, great little indie.
Well, what was it that came out last year on Hulu? Boss Level?
Yeah, Boss Level was awesome.
But that's what I'm saying.
That was like if you were, it was like Free Guy, if you were stoked about being in the Grand Theft Auto universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think as far as for movies that went like straight to streaming.
Prey.
Yeah, I was going to say Prey. I would take Prey. I would take Prey over that Western.
Harder They Fall?
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah, I would too.
I just had the thing where, oh yeah, that was awesome this year. Yeah. Whoops.
Prey was amazing.
I really enjoy the new Hellraiser, but like Prey was like fucking
I will say Prey does take a step over Harley. I completely
so good
forgot
that
about
you're
that.
Mad you didn't get the opportunity to spend $12 to go to the theater to see
that's
it.
What I'm saying
to see it on IMAX
of seeing it on your 50-inch television or
that would have been such a good IMAX movie, dude.
Especially
with the noises and the stomp. Oh dude, it would have been so good in IMAX.
God damn it, now
fuck,
how the fuck did I forget that movie?
Yeah
Prey definitely a good call there. We also have best series. We were talking about one at the very beginning of this episode, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I had to call out the last episode we did with Andor. That fucking show was amazing.
Andor was so good.
So good. But, like, you called out the one, like, I forgot it came out this year. Yeah, fucking Stranger Things season 4 was badass.
Yeah, Stranger Things.
Fucking awesome.
There were a couple, Challenges I had with the last like two. Well, season two is probably the weakest season, even though it's really good.
Comparatively, it is. Yeah,
season three. I was worried that even though it was a good season, I was worried that if it got any more kind of sidelined with kitchen stuff, that it would be not
kitchen
as much
stuff.
I wouldn't be as into it before. Kind of corrected a couple things and got back.
And gave you so much like. That it was a perfect perfect example of how to move a story forward while focusing in the past. There's a lot of that in season four,
mm-hmm.
where they're because the reason where we're at is because of the past, but in order to find out what's going on, I thought that was a brilliant
mm-hmm.
just using that, because a lot of times people they muck that up,
yep,
and I just thought that was really clean. And I'm not even gonna lie, like I really, 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 really fucking dug Wednesday. It's so good. So good.
I watched the first couple episodes and I was not that impressed with it.
I powered through that like nothing. It was just,
it so didn't. Good. Part of the fun of the Addams Family was it was the spooky people against the rest of the world that wasn't spooky. So when you put a spooky people in a spooky people place,
that's against the whole town. That's against spooky people.
Yeah, but then the spooky people are being shitty to the other spooky people. I'm like, you're friends.
you mean like, society? But that's how reality works.
Then it did kind of take away from what the original like concept of the Addams Family was trying to portray for me.
Mm.
But as things went along, you started to see that they were kids. They're all teens. That they're all you're gonna shit on each other. And what saved it for me was that there was a little bit of more bonding between the freakies.
Yeah, yeah.
As the series went on,
I saw it as every echelon of freak, or every. So, like, every group I look at now in high school was, like, a group that was technically extreme in the thing, which was what created the group. But, like, none of them knew how to exist in society outside of that one thing. And I feel like in that school, everyone was a part of the freaky side, or the monsters and all that. But they were still in their own group, and they didn't know how to exist outside of that one group without being a fucking asshole.
I didn't like that they made it normal that werewolves exist and shit. Like, just people know that these creatures exist. Bugged me. Like, that was kind of the thing with Addams Family, is that everybody just kind of took them as just kind of a weird family because they didn't believe that these supernatural creatures and stuff did actually exist. So they're like, no, they're just, I don't know, they're really into goth shit, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I can see what you're saying there. Yeah, like if you go back and watch the original two, you're like, yeah, neighbors just thought they were fucking weird.
But that being said, I still say that was a complicated thing to kind of deal with as a fan of the original series, and then also, of course, the classic movies from the 90s.
Well, you don't like the Tim Curry sequel?
No. Definitely not.
I just had to throw that in there.
Was it like Daryl Hannah or something? Was the mom?
It was so bad. So bad.
Well, okay, so that I can keep in my brain. That Daryl Hannah played Morticia.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm remembering when my credit card bill is due. Apparently, is impossible.
That movie just offended you so much, I think, and that's what it was. You're like, what?
No, but like it did win me over at the end. I really did enjoy the series ultimately. I think was it Jenna
Ortega?
Is a blast to watch, especially that dance. I know everybody's all about the dance, but it was when she starts doing the creepy hand shit.
It was
in
fun.
The dance. I'm done for. Yeah,
it was fun. And she like did that like last minute. I think she had like, I watched an interview. She said like, I didn't prep shit. Tim just like, and she was like, Tim Burton, the director, was like, I trust you got it. We don't need to go over it. And she's like, I haven't done anything. It's like 2 days away.
Dynamite.
So is this probably potentially the best thing Tim Burton's done in how many
15,
years?
15, maybe?
I like Big Eyes.
16?
Was that?
Big Eyes was decent. I liked Big Eyes.
That's about 10 years ago.
Miss Peregrine's School for Peculiar
Children. Oh, was that him? Children.
That was also about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Was that 10 years?
It's 2022,
back
bro.
Back in my day.
I'm just saying, this is probably the most positive feedback he's had on a property in a while.
That's true. That's legit. Oh, what's his face? His Fester was fun.
You know what?
I was completely fine
with that.
Yeah.
And Fred Armisen is a hit. Or a miss for me sometimes. Sometimes he's funny as shit.
He was Portlandia, right?
His stand-up special, like stand-up from
documentary now.
Musicians or whatever it's called, it's just not funny.
Yeah,
I don't find it funny at all. But Portlandia shit that he did.
Portlandia is fucking
incredible.
To me, his best contribution is documentary now, because
yes.
If you've watched enough documentaries, they are dead the fuck on. And that's where I think he works so well with that kind of show. Because
like
he's
parody and satire, yeah.
Another series that it ended the series, but goddamn it went out hard, fucking Ozark. Holy shit.
I forgot about Ozark finishing this.
Yeah. That was a beast.
Well, I'm going to jump over that one then.
I also love Jason Bateman. So
and fucking Better Call Saul, like, finished up and...
It did, but it hasn't been streaming yet, so I haven't
seen it. But I'm just saying, one of my favorite ways the show ended was Breaking Bad, and he stayed with it with Better Call Saul, and you knew, like, you have cheat sheets. You already know what happens with Breaking Bad. But even with that, it still had a really strong finish.
I mean, that is the reason I went into it, because they already had kind of announced when it started that it was going to lead up to when he meets Walter White.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm excited to see that ending.
Yeah.
Like that, or that merge of show. So
I've had many people tell me that it was fantastic. My brother keeps trying to get me to watch Better Call Saul, and my son actually started watching Better Call Saul, so I know it's good. Very nice.
And I mean,
nice recovery.
You have some solid cast in that movie, in that series too. From the start, you have a really strong cast too. That's.
The blending of current day, where it's in black and white, and then building up to where he became Saul, has that finale pretty much kind of interconnects the two. So,
yeah.
Now, there are two more series that I definitely want to mention before we close out. As far as best of, one just at least want to make a mention of. That it was a surprise out of nowhere was Little Demon. I really enjoyed that series. If you hadn't had a chance, it's an animated series on Hulu.
Oh no, yeah, okay. I've seen the thumbnail for it. I haven't watched it yet.
It's very much got Rick and Morty vibes all over it, but it gets fucking dark as shit. And I mean, like, full nudity. I mean, like the mom is like a witch that fucked Satan and had the Antichrist, and so she's still like, and now they are trying to share custody of the daughter, and she's like shoving shit up her vagina to like transport to hell and stuff. I mean, like it gets
what
fucking,
the fuck.
Okay,
all right, I might have to check this out. Like, she's a little crazy.
Cutting off chicken heads to create pentagrams to like
what was this called again?
Little Demon. It's fucking wild. Like, I mean, I'm really surprised that this is stuff that I wouldn't even necessarily expect on Adult Swim that they're doing. On
how many episodes?
9 or 10, like half-hour episodes. It's pretty consumable, and I apparently did pretty well, so hopefully there'll be a second season, but it's so much fucking fun and twisted as shit. Satan can only come to Earth by in getting in the body of a recently dead creature, so he's like a chicken whose head is barely hanging on by a skin flap at one point. Ugh. Head keeps falling over. He's
nice.
Like a worm, or like just dead bodies left and right. It's the Vatican sends an assassin to try to murder this girl, and this dude's just like, nothing I love more than murdering little girls. It's just fucking, yeah, it's very much worth a watch.
Oh, a few things. One, and I forgot that this came out this year because of the time thing that we were talking about, but The Boys season 3.
Yes.
Was so well done. My favorite show this year was actually Primal.
I've heard really good things about that.
Primal is art. It is art. It is just a wonder to behold. They are doing something with intention, and the execution is damn near flawless. Highest recommendation for Primal. Basically, animation that is almost completely visually driven with no dialogue and just exquisitely violent. Because it's about the primal world of animals and cavemen or whatever. But yeah, fantastic. Also, and I did not get the chance to see anything beyond maybe the first 3 episodes because it was appearing on Hulu and I missed the cutoff. It was Amazon. It stopped playing like as I finished the second or third episode. As I finished the third episode, they had had it up for a month and it was at the end of the month. So that was the end of the month when I finished the third episode. But Gangs of London is from the creator that did the what are the movies that take place in Myanmar? The Raid. The Raid, the Raid 1 and The Raid 2.
Nice.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, right? hey.
Yeah. Now, like, please tell me more. Yes, yeah.
Once yes, again,
would you like to know more?
Exquisitely violent, and I think it's on, it's one of the, on one of the premium networks, and then, you know, plays on.
And which one was that again?
It might be Showtime.
Okay. But what was the name of the show?
Oh, Gangs of London.
All right.
Nice. Yeah.
I think I like how we're all writing down notes of shows or recommendations.
I made some notes just for recommendation, just for, you know, like honor, you know, notable mentions or whatever. And like, there's one I found by David Simon. We Own the City. It's got John Bernthal. It's like supposed to be like a some people say it's like postscript to The Wire, but it's not. It's based off a nonfiction book written about like one of the most corrupt police squad group in.
I remember seeing
it's on it's on HBO Max. It's really fucking good, and it's John Bernthal, dude. He brings it like
every time,
every fucking time. It's really good. I definitely recommend checking that out. And the biggest surprise to me that I think I would love and follow along just as much as I did, not being in the restaurant industry, is The Fucking Bear. That fucking show crushed, bro. It fucking crushed, dude.
That
like,
was a fucking fantastic.
I did not expect to just focus. I was like, bam, bam, bam. Plow through that fucking show.
Yeah, everybody's
been
talking that up.
Yeah. Well, what I love is that all the people that have worked in restaurants before pointed to the same exact fucking moment of The Bear as an example of, okay, they've done their research, is when he's sitting on the pallets in the back having a conversation with someone, and he's got, like, the to-go soup container, like the catering cup, that he's poked a hole in and put a straw in is using as a drinking cup.
Yeah.
And everybody that's worked in restaurants is like, ooh! Oh, they know what they're doing!
And final mention of a show that I just loved the fuck out of was House of Dragon. Fucking.
Yeah, that's what I was about to throw in.
Gotta throw that in there.
For everybody that hated the fuck out of how Game of Thrones ended, I refuse. Give fucking House of the Dragon a fucking chance.
That's why people won't watch it, is because they're so butthurt about the last season of Game of Thrones.
You mean somebody like Sean?
No, I didn't say names.
I'll say it.
But no, but like that show did such a good job of just, and the I think it was the smartest thing in the world to move through time and not try to make like story where there's no change in environment or anything happening in the universe to just create an episode.
Yeah.
Like,
and,
you know.
And Matt Smith fucking brings it, man.
He does.
God damn it.
Okay, we got to bring up that dragon scene again in the last episode.
Yeah.
Where you got this giant ancient ass fucking dragon and a little baby dragon. And that's got to be one of those horrific fucking shots ever filmed. It's just, that is like doom. all that is. It spells doom.
So, last one I just want to throw is, third season was this year. My favorite dark fucking comedy that I keep telling everybody to check out, but fucking Barry is so.
See, I watched the first couple episodes and it didn't catch me.
It's of the first season, or are you talking about
the first season?
Oh man, there's an episode. Just give him more of a chance. You get to, I think it's the fourth or fifth episode.
See, that's what that's what I tell people about Andor, and they don't want to listen to me.
Yeah.
So, you know,
but
I heard Andor described as what did the dude say? He's like, I just don't want A24 Star Wars.
That's painful, bro.
Oh, that's rough.
Come on,
God
man.
God damn it.
That's fucked up. That's fucked up. That's what that is.
A little bit.
That's
God damn it.
Yeah. But one thing that we have not mentioned, and I know it was brought up before we recorded, but it maybe because it was in March, and March seems like 30 years ago.
It does.
At this point.
It's been a rough year.
Got to make a mention about Peacemaker.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Fuck.
God damn it. How do we fucking forget that?
Yeah, Peacemaker, it made, like, the dance alone, we had to wait until Wednesday came out to have a new dance to obsess over.
And, like, I added that song to my Spotify, so, like, it pops up, and I'm just like,
Wigwam, do you want to taste it?
Do you really want to taste it?
That's a bop,
I love that shit, dude. It's a bop, dude.
Yeah, and talk about just a straight-up, like, gruesome, like, unapologetic, but funny as shit and heartfelt. Like, it had some really heartfelt moments.
The rewatch value on that, because I watch it and then I watch it again with my son, and like the rewatch value is fucking tight. That show is so well done.
Incredible show. Playing as James Gunn is wont to do with like Super and even Guardians of the Galaxy to a degree, is like making fun of the superhero like stereotype,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
with the way that he does things, and he does such a good job at it. Of that, here's this dude that's kind of a racist, But he's like,
but it's because of his dad.
But that's the thing is, he's not like in his heart a racist. It's just that's how he was raised. Where when he gets exposed to other stuff, he's like, oh shit, man! Like I didn't mean to like hurt your feelings or anything, or
yeah, like he doesn't understand.
Yeah, he doesn't understand that that's like not okay until
he's bisexual racist who doesn't understand that he's also like saying sexist things to women. Like he's just doesn't pick up on what he's doing. I forgot that
they made him bisexual.
I know,
like pissed off a lot of like the Snyderverse. Dudes,
and I
we've got to make it. Oh, we're gonna make Peacemaker woke now.
Yeah,
no, sometimes you gotta suck a dick, man. Settle down, it's fine.
And Vigilante, his you know, his sidekick is
Vigilante.
So, God damn,
like
it.
I said, I brought this up on the Peacemaker episode. I liked Vigilante more, I don't, for some reason, when he was wearing the mask than when he wasn't. I don't know, it was weird, dude.
Really?
Maybe
then when he's in print, when he's in jail with his dad, it just. Come on.
Oh, man.
No, that part so was good. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Like, when you first see him and he's like, no, dude, I don't got my dick out, dude. I'm serious. Like, just check it out. Like, he's like, but it's like when he's wearing the mask, it has a whole Deadpool effect. And I thought that was really kind of.
Yeah, that I can see that.
You know, that's all I mean. Or, yeah, that's all. Yeah. When, and I feel like once he took the mask off, he just got, like, kind of annoying at times.
I can see that after that. Have the jail scene, and then after that, keep the mask on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when they're having fun shooting up shit. And the you know at the first time you see that he's wearing the mask and they're just like blowing shit.
I'm realizing
up
by the way how good Peacemaker is as we're talking about it. You know what the fuck I'm going to do when I get home tonight? Probably watch it again.
Peacemaker,
yeah.
Touch yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Touch yourself while you're watching Peacemaker.
That's right. It's American Way.
Yeah. Just screaming, "Do you want to taste it?"
Yeah. Well, what was the song that John Cena was like danced to in his tighty whities in the first episode? That's where you stroke it.
Okay.
No, no. Just letting you know. Right, big hunk of man meat.
This is a good spot to take our break at about 50 minutes in.
Oh my god! Shit.
We'll be back to talk about the less like framed versions of best of 2022, like celebrity gossip shit and all that dumb shit. So, yeah, like I don't know, I'm billionaires that bought Twitter or slaps heard around the world that we can discuss.
Oh shit!
Oh, I got there's a bigger one. There's one that literally takes everything. I mean, we can't.
I mean,
even
it can't
argue
be
it.
Like a hip hop artist that said he liked Hitler.
No, not at all. Totally not. Not even remotely
how
about
it,
that.
How
what are you talking about?
Be, yeah.
2022 has been weird, man.
To be continued.
Oh,
so stick around. We'll be back in just a minute.
Coming straight from the mouths of madness, I'm Lowdown.
I'm F.U. Hunter.
Do you love horror?
We fucking do.
So this is a podcast dedicated to all things in cinematic horror. We're talking movies, television, composers, special effects artists. We're going to fucking cover it.
So if you love horror,
embrace the madness.
My name is Amy Bogard.
And I'm Mike the Hobbit.
And we are the hosts of Deeply Upsetting, where we use our expertise to answer your most upsetting hypothetical quandaries, such as, what non-wiggin animal deserves wings?
And what body part deserves a secret mouth?
Which cryptid is the worst roommate?
These questions and more that plague you will be answered on Deeply Upsetting, available anywhere you get your podcasts and at GUIpodcast.com.
In a world of blockbuster movies, there is another dimension.
The dimension of schlock cinema. Join us at Beautiful Disasters on a journey into the fringe territory of B-movie abandon.
We review the flicks that are forgotten or underappreciated to give them a proper place in the annals of celluloid history.
I'm the Groots.
F.U. Hunter.
Your guide at Beautiful Disasters. Come along with us for a fun ride.
May the schlock be with you.
In a world with too many reboots and remakes,
two men will stop at nothing to make it even worse.
Join Mike the Hobbit and Tondi as they play by their own rules while pitching new takes on some of your favorite and least favorite films and TV shows. What podcast would dare to bring this upon the world?
This is Smack My Pitch Up.
Hey guys, Scotty P here with Smash on your left. And we are the Geek Fathers. That's right, bringing all the trials and tribulations of being a geeky parent.
So welcome to our world.
And as always, join us
or cry.
We're back for the second, I don't know, quarter of Geeks Under the Influence. This one's a little late. Before we continue on to the other parts of GUI, we got to talk about our sponsors. First up is not Amazon. Fuck them. No, we canceled our sponsorship with Amazon. So, finally,
freedom!
Freedom! But that does bring up the fact that we do have an opening for sponsorship. So if you are a fan of GUI and want to throw your hat in the ring to be a temporary or permanent sponsor of the show, we're happy to do a few episodes of sponsorship on, well, the other shows.
Not at your vape emporium.
Yeah, I mean, or if you want to give us like 25 grand to promote on the next episodes of GUI, however have, many that may
do
be.
Do you have a new CBD startup company?
Adam and Eve.
No.
Yeah. Well, so fuck Amazon. We're done with them. But we are not done with TeePublic, of course. TeePublic, we have designs from not only just Geeks Under the Influence, the show, but the network, brand Geeks Under the Influence and all the other shows in the network, inside jokes from previous episodes, over 60 designs. We've got holiday stuff going. It is probably too late to get it before Christmas since
it's
this is coming out like less than a week before Christmas. So if you're still shopping for order online t-shirts for Christmas, nah, bro. Like you waited too long.
But the person you forgot? And you're doing after Christmas?
Or if you do something like I'm doing with some friends where you're doing like the Secret Santa thing, but after the holidays, when you don't want to add stress to the thing and you're doing gift exchange sometime in January, still plenty of time to pick up a Geeks Under the Influence design shirt or mug or baby onesie if you don't like the baby very much. magnets, whatever.
Oh, a little live love with the baby onesie.
Human centipede baby onesie,
Yes.
That is happening. Somebody, please.
Have the new Pop Cultist design up on the page now. So if you wanted to get a jump on the show and blind faith it.
Yeah, make your baby awesome is what he's saying.
Then absolutely you can go for that. We also have the Renaissance Man designs where we've got Renaissance Man, Renaissance Woman, and Renaissance Person designs with Brendan Fraser likeness on the store to celebrate the return of our favorite little Tarzan. Or George of the Jungle.
Yeah, I was going to say.
George. Close enough. Yeah.
Tarzan was one of the Skarsgårds, wasn't it?
Eric Skarsgård.
Yeah.
Was it Eric?
It's Alexander.
Alexander.
Yeah.
That's true blood.
Yeah, the vampire Tarzan.
The Randall Flagg of the new Stand series.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, GUIpodcast.com/store to go to our TeePublic store and check that stuff out. But on to the rest of the show. Fuck you, Amazon. Whee!
Go to hell.
Go to hell.
He is a new.
You've been waiting for that. Fuck Amazon. Yeah.
That's why I smiled before I hit record. I was like, ooh.
You were a little giddy. I was just like, all right, here we go.
A reminder, I don't have to plug them. So yeah, next part is what really fuels our not just alcoholism, but geek rage and excitement on these shows. We're talking about what we're drinking.
Hey, we're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey,
we're drinking. We're getting drunk.
Anyway, yes, what we're drinking. We've got a few shares here for the holiday season, 2022. Kind of a hard thematic thing to do unless you're drinking like a different beer for different months of the year, which, you know, I don't have the energy after the GUI brunch.
It's fair. The season of festivities, though.
Absolutely. Yeah. The day yesterday before we recorded this, we did the GUI brunch that we do every year, and we handed out the Danimal trophy named after the Danimal.
Fuck yeah, Dan.
Yeah. Woo! To fucking Dan.
To fucking Dan.
Yeah.
And this year, in celebration of their work on GUI shows, not just this show, but then also becoming the new co-host or a new co-host on Beautiful Disasters and help on other shows. Murphy Lawless, with the Danimal from Fuck You Hunter, was the previous year's winner.
Yes.
Yeah. Well earned.
It was well earned, and it was an awesome handoff. I don't know. It was good. It was great. It was good stuff. It was
a beautiful moment.
A giant. You know what I'm trying to say.
Giant group hug, a hug with the soft, creamy center being Murphy.
Yeah.
But that also means that I'm drinking a little slower today. And a lot of booze was imbibed yesterday. So,
as we do.
But fortunately, we have some quality over quantity this evening. First up with being something Lowdown brought for
us. Yeah. So, you know, I'm going to roll out the year with, as I do, East Coast Local, baby. Got Midnight Brewery out of Goochland, Virginia, which is 25 minutes outside of Richmond. They're Christmas at Midnight. This is a staple for me this time of year. Since they first dropped it, I fucking love this beer. It's amazing. It's like equal to Kentucky Christmas Morning to me as far as like something I have to drink this time of year when it comes out.
Fair enough.
Which I'm surprised. It sucks we didn't have enough time release wise to bring that as a share. Because this year's is really good. I had it at Hardywood at Puncture Presence.
Oh, man.
It is. I think they finally figured out the big fucking brew process at the new West Creek place.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good.
Fuck yeah. Hell yeah.
Which I'm happy for, because it did not taste good last year.
Well, this is pretty good in itself.
This is a midnight. Yeah, brewery. They've got the two big beers I love by them is their Oktoberfest and their Christmas at Midnight. And they've got, obviously, ones in between. We've had shares. Rockville Red.
Not my job.
They've got other good sessionable beers, but like they really shine at these. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what's the ABV on that?
Oh, it's like 7%. So it's not like a terrible, you know.
Yeah, it's a little higher than normal,
it's not a dick puncher. No. Like another one though. The other one though we got. Yeah, that motherfucker. That
yeah, this was Tondi was nice enough to bring this Belgian Abbey ale here.
Yeah, it's just some St. Bernardus. I like Belgian ales, and I saw that they had a Christmas ale. I don't usually like Christmas stuff that much, flavor-wise, but I'm enjoying it because I like Belgians. I was expecting, nutmeg or something in there, and I'm not getting any of that, but it just tastes like a good Belgian, so I'm all about it.
I get just the subtlest hint, especially on the finish, of like some spiciness in there, but like holiday spices.
That might just be the alcohol content.
Yeah, that might also just be the fun burning.
10%.
Truth. 10%. That's why I'm like, that bitch, yep. That crosses
that does
dick
kick
kicker.
Some dicks, yes.
That crosses in a dick kicker.
Yep, absolutely. We haven't had a dick kicker in a minute, actually.
No, and we... Even longer with like what was the other? There was like one other echelon where it was like 12.
Oh, a castrator.
Yeah, we haven't had a castrator.
Oh, it's been a while since
we've also gotten old.
Like a quad.
I forgot about the castrator
dude. It was like 13%. Like, oh god.
like a that's a lead on the mic at the end of the show time. Yeah. Yep.
That's a Hunter and I are going to finish the episode because Hobbit's passed out. Episode.
You mean a Justice League one?
Yeah, the Justice League one.
Oh. We'll never live down the Justice League episode.
Hey, dude, I still get shit for puking on Star Wars.
That's
so
true.
Whatever,
that's
true.
Man. You puked during the episode?
I got up, went to the bathroom, broke the door to the cabinet, puked, and then someone woke me up later on that night. that's how that went.
the good old time.
Oh, me and my youth.
Or again, the early days of GY Nights with this motherfucker blatantly drunk, and we realized that once he started not understanding the pattern of the words.
You're out of time.
We're all out of time. I go back and listen to that. I'm so fucking stupid. It's like, he's out of time, and you're out of time, and you're all
it's one of those
time.
Rare occasions where, like, I think Steven might be shit-faced.
That was very funny.
On that episode.
And it was after we hit, like, no, we called you out on the episode, like, what are you talking about?
Like, just like that, though. That's the funny
part.
Where
the opposite happened, where I think someone's going to have to take over. Steven's too drunk, so, yeah.
Four nights.
Yeah.
I was too drunk four nights.
That's, oh, buddy.
Yeah, it was a rough day afterwards, I'm telling you.
Now, I did want to, before we get done with this episode, dig into just kind of the craziness of 2022 that we alluded to before we got to break. But I really want to dig into, what craziness... in the world did you think was like a top for you in 2022? Like what celebrity pop culture moment, you know, not floods or famine or anything that. Not the important
shit. I think that actually affects
people. I don't feel like rating tsunamis.
Can we not go
let's
that?
Not do that. But I mean, as far as stuff that ultimately doesn't actually matter.
I'm going to just right out the gate, not drop with the biggest one. Can we just talk about Kanye, please? The motherfucker is just...
I feel like that's a gimme. Like that's the first thing that came. The celebrity?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's got to be. There's like I didn't even remember the Will Smith slap happened because Kanye has been so bat tits crazy.
Exactly. Like I thought about it when we talked when we released the the topics and I was like, oh Will Smith. I'm like, oh no Kanye. Yeah, totally.
Well, Kanye is doing the I'ma let you finish to society right now of like, no, but wait, I got something else crazy to say.
Fucker, man.
Kanye being insane is, it's not practically bigger than, but it is, in the media space, it's bigger than Elon Musk trying to burn Twitter to the ground because it is so insane. The interviews he's done are so insane. Like, it scares me.
You always feel bad for the guy, though, because he's, like, unchecked insanity.
No, but see, the thing is, though, that, like, bipolar doesn't make you a Nazi. Like,
yeah, no, that's true. Yeah. That's true. It doesn't.
Oh, I forgot my bipolar meds. Like, so now,
when you see
like, what the fuck? Yeah.
Fucking Alex fucking Jones walking back your statement is when you know that you've gone too far. Where,
yeah,
and that's what's so funny is that him leaning really right on all this shit and the right wing being like, oh yeah, see, we got one. Yeah. We got one.
Like, oh no, one. No, no, no. Wait, wait, no, no, no.
Then
no, he
starts
no,
saying
no.
stuff and they're like, whoa. Yeah. Because I think Kanye is like, yeah, I'm like, I'm right wing because I'm like racist now. And everybody on the right wing is like, we got one. Oh, no. We pretend we don't believe
we
that.
We don't say that out loud.
We don't say that out loud.
Those are the parts we don't say out loud, yeah, Kanye.
You're
come
saying
on.
The quiet part loud. Yeah. You don't need to.
Yeah.
And it's just really calling attention to the fact that, like, even on the Alex Jones thing, he's just like, no, I don't know about, like, not willing to, like, go full. No, that's not what we do because he doesn't want to alienate his racist audience. So he's like, funny joke there, Kanye.
I will say, though, the Kanye thing is fucking crazy. We talk about the slap, and that was one of those that people heard about the Kanye shit at different times, right, or whatever. I remember fucking showrunner page. As soon as you're watching the Oscars and the fucking slap, and we all witnessed that shit all at the same time and went, the fuck just happened?
I don't know if I've reached for my phone faster. Than
I didn't know if anybody else was watching
comment
it.
On the group page or the group chat, but also on Twitter. I was like, let's go to Twitter. It was super slow-mo, like a Zack Snyder film of me like clicking the fucking Twitter app.
So were you the Wonder Woman of the slap?
But I don't know exactly what that's supposed to mean.
Slow Zack Snyder movement. I just picked her as the comparison for you.
I mean, not of the slap, but of the slap response.
It wasn't just Hobbit, it was a whole world.
I know. Can you give me this?
There has to be some record of DVRs being backed up a minute at that exact moment.
It's like in Titanic when the person falls off the back and hits the rudder and like flips down. The number of times I've rewound that.
Because it was like the only enticing part of the movie.
When it first happened, we were all like, okay, Oscars. Yeah, Will Smith played Ali. Now he's slapping the shit. Okay. And then you realize, oh no. Wait.
Yeah, it was this the damn hurt around the world.
Yeah.
This wasn't a bit because Oscar bits are pretty fucking terrible.
Yeah.
And this was when they cut the sound off and you see Will Smith continuously yelling,
keep my wife's name out of your fucking mouth.
And then thank you, overseas, where all the overseas telecasts didn't bleep that shit out.
Nope.
So we got to instantly hear what he was saying on Twitter, like, 5 minutes after the fact? So.
Yeah, I love that. Then the Oscars had to continue.
Yeah.
And then everybody in the audience in the Oscars were like, ha, 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 ha. Like, I think there was even a comment of the next person that won or the person that actually won the award that
was
Chris Rock was there. Yeah. Was like, yeah, so this is weird.
Yeah. And then to have him win and they go up there and you're just like, he's still in the building. Okay. Like, I mean, like, I was shocked.
Yeah,
he
like,
never
Will
got
Smith,
removed.
What do we do? I don't know what we do. He's Will Smith.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then he ends up winning an Oscar later that night. And he has to go up and then he's just doing
he's
this ramble. He's crying and rambling about like, you protect
apologizing to everybody except the guy he physically hit. Sorry, everybody. I included everybody, right? I got everybody in that. You know how, oh man, I forgot to mention this or that. How about just sort of when you apologize, you mentioned the guy that you slapped in front of millions of people, okay? That I just suggest.
Maybe.
You can even if you think that you do have a justification for your actions, like that there was the conversation about how Jada, like, can't grow her hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, Will Smith believes that, you know, Chris Rock knows this information and is actively making fun of her, like, medical issue. Let's say that's all the case and that's all true and everything. You can still be like, hey, that behavior isn't appropriate for this like situation. And I have to apologize for what should have been a conversation later.
Yeah.
Became a bigger issue.
But it didn't happen. He went up there and it just didn't happen. Well, like, dude,
he laughed.
Man.
That's the thing that threw everybody off is that he laughed, looked at his wife.
No, but then Jada looked at him and he was like, oh no, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
Such a shame. I don't want that to be the focus of this year in review
moment. It's more of just that we don't, it's so rare for everybody to witness something at the same time.
Yeah.
That's like,
Exactly.
Especially like Chris Rock. He witnessed his first literally hand.
Yeah.
And he was surprised that
anybody
was. But
we can talk about it, and it's not like.
He was like, oh shit, Will slapped the shit out of me.
Will Smith slapped the shit out of me.
Yeah, my man was the audience, and he had 3D glasses on, so just coming at him. Boom.
Yeah. And then just, you know, the Chris Rock big eye thing that he does, just. Wow. Yeah. Still not really processing the fact that that actually happened was incredible. But
yeah, I feel like there's some other shit we're missing celebrity wise.
I've got a list. Don't worry.
No, thank you. Because again, this year's been somewhat of a tire fire.
There's the Johnny Depp.
Oh, Amber Heard. Yes. There we go. There we go. Yeah.
And that just keeps building to be like, it's that back and forth where you see people that like, that they definitely don't care about the truth. They just want to be right.
And they're both nasty pieces of shit.
Amber Heard's
a
piece. First off, Johnny Depp's a piece of shit. And then it's like, oh, actually, there's video and audio and stuff that Amber Heard's actually a piece of shit.
Well, she's leaving pieces of shit everywhere.
Then,
that's what she
Amber
does.
Heard's a piece of shit. And like, well, actually, now there's new information that actually Johnny Depp like adjusted some of the audio and video stuff to make it look worse than it actually was. And like, well, then they both suck. How about that?
Yeah.
Like, they both
fucking
suck.
Did she take a shit on his pillow? Does that determine?
I think that did happen.
Was something I was not expecting.
That, like, she didn't say.
Of all the stuff, that was the thing. Wait, what? She dropped a deuce on his pillow?
What the fuck?
And then she bragged about it?
Yeah, it's like,
that,
come on, man.
That caught me off guard. I was thinking, like, bottles being thrown, should be taught, but I took a fucking deuce on your pillow, asshole. Didn't expect that from the chick from Aquaman, right?
I saw so many friends that were, like, trying to defend one side or the other for a certain point, and then there was enough times where it flipped back and forth between who's actually the monster.
Yeah, I've had enough.
That they were like, see, no, he's fully vindicated Johnny Depp, and then a month later it's like, Johnny Depp like tampered with photos and stuff to make it look like a thing. You should have known better at this point.
Johnny Depp already had a history of being a piece of shit. I feel like that part was a foregone conclusion. All we were waiting for was to find out if Amber Heard was actually a fucking monster. And she was.
Yeah, she also is bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So wait, the really shitty person was with the other really shitty person.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out.
Yeah.
Speaking of shitty person with shitty person, Bennifer 2.0 is another thing that happened.
Yeah, that thing.
You know, this doesn't affect me at all. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care.
I don't want to really shit on it because whatever.
The only thing that's entertaining about that to me is that Ben Affleck is the saddest man in the world for some reason. And even in this marriage with his impossibly hot wife, his great career, and the fact that he's still in shape and fairly handsome, even though he drinks like a fish, and dude is just like the most like forlorn, morose motherfucker on the face of the earth.
Morose motherfucker.
I'll say this, creatively, I think it's a bad thing because he did better after they broke up. He fucking directed movies, came up.
Oh, no, they're going to break up. He's a serial adulterer.
And
like, he's going to cheat on her.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And then we're going to get some more good movies like The Town and shit like that because that was his most creative was after she dumped him.
And then Jennifer Lopez is going to have her Lemonade record that comes out.
Yeah.
And then everybody
and
wins.
Else will sing it for her.
I got to say, though, like, I mean, unless she is just bad shit and you cannot fathom one more second with her to fuck her, like, why the fuck would you cheat on that juicy, gorgeous fucking woman?
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
It's
dude.
A compulsion. Yeah,
it's gotta be something. I mean, like, she
it's not
is
just it's no, there's no
it's justification. I'm just saying, but there's gotta be something.
Well, you know, there's the you know this because you're a man of years. You know that anybody can get tired of anybody, but also in a relationship where the power structure of the relationship is that both people are like really functionally 50-50, like the denial of whatever is going to be hard. Like Jennifer Lopez be like, you know what? I don't feel like it. Or you didn't take out the trash. And that's fine. She has enough power that she can easily carry that off.
Mm.
And so Ben Affleck's like, but I'm still virile and strong. Well,
there's also
famous.
Like, there's this line of like, why would you settle for a cheeseburger when you've got like a filet mignon at home? But like, there aren't cheeseburgers throwing themselves at Ben Affleck. Like, both of them are getting, like prime wacky rib getting
like,
thrown at
them. I
like,
will say,
fucking, no, they're getting fucking Kobe beef. Man.
Yeah, right. Like,
they're getting fucking, like, Kobe.
There's some good cuts being thrown.
They get slung.
And also, I mean, and this isn't justifying cheating by any stretch.
Oh, no.
It's important to be faithful. That's a little harder when you're, like, famous and hot. And so just like everybody was like, I will fuck you in the trash bin behind the thing, just wherever.
Word? Oh, cool. All
right. Yeah, it was like, nice to meet you.
In the back of a Volkswagen? Like,
yeah, put it in.
Yeah, somewhere in place uncomfortable.
Like, you pretty much have carte blanche on whoever you want as a sexual partner. That, knowing Thank that, you. Fundamentally knowing that has to be really difficult when you're on, like, say, a press tour. For yeah. 2 months.
Yeah.
And your wife is on a worldwide fucking music tour or some shit.
And people somehow keep getting past security to knock on your door.
Like, security, why you? Well, come in. We'll let's get you a phone call and get you to the right place.
Call your parents. Yeah. Or...
Whoa.
She could be 18, 19, 20. She'd be in college.
Mm. True. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
Trick with Ben Affleck is you just bring a Dunkin' Donuts coffee to him. He'll be forever grateful. Kanye West, Mitt Maldonado. So just a few here for the most part.
The thing is, though, like...
The Queen died.
Oh, yeah. The Queen died.
Whatever.
But no, but like, and that even speaks to this, we just said, but like the one in the middle, the second one we talked about, Amber Heard's lineup, that took up so much of our year as far as celebrity...
It's time-wise, yeah, that trial seemed
forever.
I mean, it was a top-tier story, but Ezra Miller's fucking breakdown.
Lost his fucking mind, dude.
You got a movie that's just sitting on the shelf, done.
Millions of dollars and just they're like, sitting there.
What the fuck do we do?
What is the actual... Because that's one of those things that, just through the COVID era, I feel like Ezra Miller has been doing, like, weird, dark, evil stuff for, like, 4 years now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like he kidnapped that girl in 2019 or something or whatever.
Well, he attacked some chick like at one of the cons and like he smiles
yeah.
and then
yeah,
like
that was in like 2016.
His bodyguard's like, let's get you off the fan. Like,
and people joke about like DC has bad luck with like Amber Heard and where they're having to like redo a whole bunch of shit. And now like Ezra Miller, where they can't really redo the Flash movie without the Flash.
That's what I'm saying.
And they're like, they have bad luck. No, I just think Disney has better like assassins and handlers.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that fucking, Robert Downey Jr. probably eats people. He's a human cannibal.
Brie Larson's killed somebody.
Brie Larson has murdered hobos. Yeah. For sure. You know, there's some weird, dark secret shit going on. Like, Tom Holland is actually a lizard person.
Yeah, he's the last studio that still has studio fixers.
Yeah, there's fixers. They're just...
You heard it here first, folks.
But Disney's been around long enough and been successful enough with
Brie Larson kills hobos.
That's the name of the episode, is Brie Larson kills hobos.
We might get sued by Brie Larson. She is that chick.
Geeks of the Influence has a cease and desist.
I mean, it'd be almost worth it just kidding. We're continuing to do the show.
What are you gonna get from us? Like,
yeah.
But no, they need to go ahead and replace Ezra Miller's face with Tig Notaro, and then just be about their business.
See, you know where DC wouldn't have to worry about this at all if they just went ahead and tried to work out with having Grant Gustin being the fucking Flash because he's awesome.
Oh, you mean the guy from the show?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
The guy that already plays the Flash.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, him.
Nothing could happen for Mr. Ezra guy.
I'm sorry. Logic. I don't know.
Grant Gustin is amazing.
He is amazing, awesome
in his Peter Parker version of the Flash. And I love him too. I think he's incredible, but that's not how the industry works at all.
No.
Doesn't mean the industry's smart.
That's it. I want to like pick out what deep, dark, secret shit all the Avengers have. Besides Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd is perfect, and you can never tell me any differently.
Okay. Okay.
Chris Hemsworth. No,
Paul Rudd just has a portrait of himself that looks really gross up in an attic somewhere.
But if you open the door behind the portrait, then you'll find Paul Rudd's pizza restaurant that has kids underneath the restaurant.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's just him.
What?
Yeah, little did we know that Paul Rudd owns a little pizza restaurant in D.C.
Paul Rudd was at the heart of every Q conspiracy, and we never knew it.
Paul Rudd opens up, like, stocks for some secret company called Adrenochrome. What? Paul Rudd is Q, actually.
He's the JFK Jr. we've all been waiting. He is. Right?
And if we paid enough money, we could be verified as Paul Rudd and make those announcements thanks to how Twitter works. Right,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, just throw your cash together. Depressing things of the year, but yes. On a personal level.
Yeah, the Twitter thing is fucking buck wild, and it was called out pretty early on with the Twitter thing that like a lot of people expect he's intentionally tanking Twitter.
yeah,
to write it off and like actually make a profit from his taxes on the, I mean, like producer style. Like this is a fucking Mel Brooks production. I don't, it's either that or he is like, how has he lasted this long? Like without doing something this fucking stupid.
He's been out of touch for
unintentional.
I mean, he's not very in touch with, I mean, this is just,
I've been following the Twitter files drops that he's like exposing all the corruption behind Twitter. And it's so anticlimactic.
Business practice.
It's like they went back and forth, and this person went to this person, and they decided to block this really, really fucked up tweet. Okay, so what's the? Oh, that's it. That's the bomb drop. Okay,
block
great.
The tweet.
Cool.
Block the tweet.
Yeah, this person that has made like death threats to people, they decided to block and like end her account. But this time she wasn't as threatening. Like she threatened to murder people. I don't know
Meanwhile, like the, you know, verification shit, and you've got companies losing a fuck ton of money because people can just say they're that and then make announcements. I mean, was it the insulin company that like,
oh, lost so much money?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's kind of dangerous.
It's insulin.
Yeah.
My favorite recently was that
insulin? No, like I mean, it's like
there was somebody that was tracking the real movements of the Elon Musk jet, right? And so he got banned and he got taken off and stuff. I'm not arguing that. You know what? That could be potentially a safety issue or whatever. I think he overreacted for sure with that a little bit. But like, if you block the account, okay, fine, that's fine. I'm not, you know, that I see that's fair. But the fact that he's preaching free speech the whole time while he's doing it is fucking obnoxious. But then also any reporters that were reporting on the story of the dude being blocked by Elon Musk got blocked. Like got their accounts removed.
Every move he's made is purposely anti-free speech for whatever reason. I don't know if it's a specific ideology that he's glomming onto in the modern time or if he is trying to tank Twitter on purpose, as you said. But he is not making any moves that are like... good for the idea of free speech.
Well, then there was the Twitter Spaces thing that happened where apparently there was something in Twitter where even if you were, your account was removed or blocked, you still had access to the Twitter Spaces thing. So a bunch of journalists got together, blocked and unblocked journalists, to talk about what the fuck is even going on here on Twitter. Elon Musk rolls into this chat of like 30, 40 journalists that are talking about journalism in an age where Twitter is owned by Elon Musk. And he's asked like three questions, the third one being relating to like, you're talking all this shit about like how bad Twitter was for hiding this Hunter Biden's laptop pics of his own dick and stuff that was happening and how bad it was. How is this different? Like, how is this not censorship? But that is censorship. And he then left the call.
He couldn't answer any of the questions.
And then took down all of Twitter Spaces. Because he was trying to figure out how to remove the journalists that were on that call that had been blocked. And the team that normally handled that had been fired.
Yeah.
Whoops.
So he had to take down the whole Twitter Spaces for most of the day to get that tweak fixed before putting it back up.
The fuck?
Yeah. Because the team that handles everything has been fired.
It's
It's like he literally gave the prime example of why whenever a company buys a section of a business or some large quantity of something, they at a minimum appease the current masses of employment, because if they leave they can't run shit. Yeah. And then what they just bought is useless because they can't run it. Like, so no money. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, if he had just invested his own money and this was just some kind of, I'm an agent of chaos and a bored rich person, and this is how I can jerk off and come or whatever. I could understand that. But it's not just his money that's invested. He's got to, you know, he's got to pay people back for the money they invested in his, he's got to show a profit. So I don't understand what he's doing.
I love
careful what you wish for. What the fuck?
Yeah, I pulled up Elon Musk's Twitter, and I love that this, I don't know if it was mentioned or not on the episode, he did a poll, should he step down as head of Twitter, he will abide by the results of the poll, and currently close to 60% of it is yes. Yes,
he also
should.
Oh no, it's his final results. So that's the final results.
Okay, so. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
Like at the very bottom by the votes, it says, of that post, it says final results.
Yeah, final results. So yeah, I guess he's going to step down as
17.5 million people voted in. And almost 60%, yes.
Yeah, and then the next result is response is him whining, as the saying goes, be careful what you wish for, as you might get it. It's just...
Well, the speculation I heard was that he put that up because he had already planned whatever it was going to look like. So his
those who want power are the ones who least deserve it? What the fuck? This guy.
His post, and that's why I'm bringing this up, because we're right at the tail end of the episode, and at the tail end of the episode, we do a little segment that I thought would be fun using Elon Musk's tweets for.
Okay. Okay. All right. Here we go.
Okay. So,
all right.
Of course, we're talking about a little end of the episode bit that we call making a drunken scene.
Yes.
Barely.
Good place.
Where's this Elon Musk?
For a spot.
I'm just going to scroll through.
If there's a tweet that you see that you really want to do, best Elon Musk impression or whatever, voice.
What is an Elon Musk impression?
I don't know. I don't even know. Yeah, I don't know. He sounds confused most of the time. Like, I don't know if that's an actual accent of just confused, but.
You can't really make fun of his presentation because I think he's like hardcore autistic.
Yeah, he is. That's...
Is it really?
Let's not do that.
Is he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had no idea. Yeah, very, very much.
Is any of that coming to account for his actions with all this? Is the fact that he doesn't maybe fully understand?
No, he's fully an adult who's responsible for the moves that he makes. He understands what he's doing.
Mm.
He's Trump-esque in that he doesn't have to have accountability because he's a billionaire.
Mm.
So he can just do shit.
Yeah, I get that part. I just didn't know if, like...
What are you doing?
Sorry, the handgun with the astronaut.
He's got all kinds of memes that you're like, it's like him carrying the sink into Twitter's offices. Okay.
I mean, he's literally like just this fucking adult man that's a troll, an internet troll that has billions and billions of dollars.
He's getting off on just,
Yeah.
I used to eat people, but I got bored of that, so good.
That's how I know we're in the worst timeline, because a guy that is basically an internet troll is in charge of our rocket ships and one of the largest forms of social media communication in the world, and he's in charge. Yeah.
Also, until this, he was on track to be the world's first trillionaire.
Not anymore.
No, I said prior to this,
he was
on track to being the world's first trillionaire.
I'm too busy running Twitter, so now Herschel Walker will be in charge of SpaceX.
Yeah, oh,
right.
God.
Oh, to explain space, we got to talk about werewolves and vampires. I didn't know werewolves could kill vampires. I didn't know. Oh.
And then your kids knock on the door, and you're like, nobody's home. Don't move, honey. Just pretend we're not here.
Has anybody actually watched, though, in front of, his... followers, the whole breakdown of Fright Night. I mean, it's Fright Night. He's just talking about Fright Night.
Incredible.
It's amazing. They just sit there and, like, I've watched cut versions of it, and they're like, we had to cut some of this out because it just kept going on. But if you're in that crowd.
Speech, so that's something, I guess.
Yeah.
So this is the one I'm going to do here for Elon Musk. This is from December 15th, Elon Musk Twitter drunken scene. Here we go. If anyone posted real-time locations and addresses of New York Times reporters, FBI would be investigating. There'd be hearings on Capitol Hill, and Biden would be giving speeches about end of democracy.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
That just happened.
I love the like, whataboutism shit, and the, like, if this, then this bullshit of, like, no, but if it was this way around, then it'd be different. Fuck you.
What about?
Yeah, it's so fucking annoying.
All right, let's see if we can find.
There's a lot of retweets. Yeah, and anytime he gets in hot water, he just retweets a bunch of shit about SpaceX. It's so fucking funny. You can, like, time it.
I guess I'll do this one.
Yeah, do it.
All right. Any account doxing real-time locations info of anyone will be suspended, as it is a physical safety violation. This includes posting links to sites with real-time location info, posting locations someone traveled to on a slightly delayed basis isn't a safety problem, so it's okay.
great Solid. Let's see.
All right.
Oh, here we go.
It's regular. All right. Should I step down as head of Twitter, I will abide by the results of this poll.
Lovely.
Yes.
Lovely.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. True, like, evil villain energy.
I thought it was a little shock horror for a second.
There were a few things going on.
Oh, this is where he threatens to put Fauci in jail.
Yeah, here we go. I want to go with that.
Where's that?
The December 12th, like, that's bratty. Under pressure from hundreds of activist employees, Twitter deplatforms Trump, a sitting U.S. president, even though they themselves acknowledge that he didn't violate the rules.
And I read all of these Twitter files, and this one I remember specifically is that what they suggested is that they were giving different rules to Trump, being a lot actually easier on him than other people.
Because he's sitting president.
Like, it was a judgment call on some of these tweets, and so it's a nothing burger.
That's a prime example of just how much of a fucking whiny little bitch, brat, fucking, whatever.
Yeah.
You know where I'm going. I'm surprised it took that long to get to one, though. It was only December 12th, but I figured there would have been one, like, yesterday. Or, like, yeah.
It's just another reminder, and this is happening over and over again, whether it be political people or people in industry that are too big for their britches and don't have any kind of realistic view of the world, where they think if you're shitty and rich, you can just say stuff and people will, like, get behind you and support you. But, like, no. Yeah, some will, for sure. Absolutely. You're having
you still have that.
The disgusting Elon Musk fans, they're like, yes, Elon. Yeah, Elon, you're right.
You're so right.
Glaze me like a donut.
I mean, it's, you know what? We need to change the rules so Elon can run for president. I've seen a lot
of
that.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, fuck no. Fuck no. We thought Trump was bad. Musk? No. Holy shit. But, like, dude, that's like a whole level I don't even want to think about.
Like, that there's nothing behind a lot of the time these people's, like, views on things besides I'm allowed to do whatever I want to. And so when that falls apart, they're surprised. It's like, yeah, you're, like, taking away people's, like, ability to, you know, communicate with each other, the people's fundamental human rights in some instances. And then you're surprised that people are mad about it.
You know what's crazy, though?
The fuck?
And this isn't no way, like, anything slightly remotely positive to Musk. It's like, we failed as a society when that is the way that people are able to communicate with loved ones and family, too. It's like, it sucks.
It's supposed to be an it's all supposed to be an opportunity.
It is also, it's supposed to be, let's say, who bastardized most things that are supposed to be good?
Well, the people that are interacting with the things, because people do that. But
exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like,
but we also establish what's good. So, you know.
I think it was George Carlin talked about this decades ago about 24-hour news channels, is that the problem with those channels is that you have these two boxes that pop up, and there's a guy that's, like, a scientist that has been doing his job for, like, 30 years, and that's, like, his entire life is to know about this one tiny thing, this one type of science, this one very specific study thing that he's devoted his entire life to, and that's, like, he is the person in the entire world that knows the most about this thing. And then you've got this fucking wacko in the other box that just decides that that's not true, and they put him up there like they're equal, and they're like, okay, scientists, this thing, blah, 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 if we don't do anything about this, then, you know, there could be a lot of lost life. And, okay, what about you, Mr. Crazy McJones? And, like, oh, I think that he's part of a space alien conspiracy with the lizard people. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, that's interesting. And they treat it like there's an equality
and
there.
Your opinion is as valid as anybody else.
So you mean don't look up?
Yeah, like, basically.
You mean perfect don't look example.
Up. But that's what we're running into with the internet is that, with something like Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, there is a level playing field between celebrities and nobodies, you know, people that just regular schmoes like us, really.
And as far as how much you can achieve reach.
Yeah. And the problem with that, though, is that there's this immediate animosity towards people that have a natural popularity to start. I see it in podcasting all the time, too. Well, they're celebrities, so of course they're going to be successful with podcasting right out of the gate. Why are you mad about it, then? If you know that, then why are you...
And that's not always the case.
Yeah, don't take it as a chip on your shoulder thing, man. Like, it's not a thing against you. Yeah, it's just the nature of
doesn't affect your success.
And, you know, they put a lot of work into the initial success they got, probably. So maybe that's a carryover.
That's the thing. It's like they did the work in that other level that before they reached here.
And that's what's happening with Twitter is that there's, you know, there's the Elon Musk that supposedly are taking down like the natural order of things. And so all the douchebags fall behind. It was the same thing with Donald Trump. And unfortunately, same thing with fucking Snyder, where there was like the PG-13 standard for fucking superhero movies. And DC started pushing an edgier, darker mode. And they got Snyder to be involved with that. And this isn't shitting on Snyder. This isn't shitting on either even Warner Brothers. But then it's like, oh, he's going against the status quo. So I support him for everything that he does and become simps for fucking Snyder when Snyder. That's not what he was planning on doing. He wasn't trying to subvert the status quo. He just likes slow motion and blood.
He likes slow motion and hero shots.
Yeah.
More than anybody in the history of movies.
He likes slow motion like J.J. Abrams
like lens flares. I was thinking the exact same thing.
But, you know, they create these false idols of, like, subverting the dominant paradigm in society, and it's not true. It's usually just selfish douchebags that are doing whatever they want to without consideration of other people. And they're aggrandized and made hero worshipped out of. And then it falls apart, and then everybody is surprised. It's the idea that just because you have a difference of opinion, it needs to be taken as just as valid as any other opinion out there in the world. When the Elon Musk don't know how to run a Twitter. Hell, he doesn't know how to run a Tesla. He got the other people to make decisions for him to make him successful.
That's what happens when you're like not just rich.
What happened to the response to somebody that was the guy in the other box that was just a whack job where it's like, well, that's just like your opinion, bro. What happened to that response to that shit?
Well, because you know what I'm saying? Where it's like, valid now. Like, that's the argument I see all the time with something was like, well, you can't just discredit my opinion because it's different than your opinion. Your opinion is insane.
That's what I'm saying.
Also, your opinion says bro, that the earth is that, hollow.
Also, whose opinion is more entertaining? And that's a sad thing. The crazy guy?
That's the truth.
Look at the crazy guy. Mm-hmm. And eventually, you know what? Some people, the Trump factor, where some people go, maybe the crazy guy, because he's entertaining, is right. And you go, you have no bias based on that. But he's funny. It's entertaining. It's like, it doesn't matter.
It's funny you mentioned, you know, hollow core. It's like, yeah, like somebody comes out with a hollow earth theory where fucking Godzilla and King Kong are fucking battling and there's bones and shit. And like, yeah, that happened. There's a movie about it.
Now, that's a movie.
That's a movie. Exactly. There's a movie about it. But everyone's like, uh-huh, see, there's a movie about it. Yeah. See?
I mean, there's still flat earth people. I mean, come on. I mean, like, how?
Oh, how?
Where
yeah.
we are with satellites and everything. Like, yeah, but it's a flat earth.
We live in a society.
Yeah.
this is a crossover spider pitch up.
Yeah.
In a world.
But literally, we live in a society where there was a fake account called Birds Aren't Real with the idea that, like, birds are actually surveillance drones for the government, all birds.
Oh, my, yeah.
And
yeah. Oh, God.
It's fucking pigeons.
Hilariously stupid, like, conspiracy theory that it was a fun satirical page for them to do until people started believing it. And that it's not a huge number of people that believe it, but some people are like, but how do you know, though?
Yeah.
And that's the argument that conspiracy theorists sometimes use with this shit is like, but how do you know that it's not true? I guarantee you it's not fucking true. I'm going to stand on a fucking, I'm going to go out on a limb.
We're right in the direction of Idiocracy. We're so close, man.
Gatorade, bro.
Yeah.
It's Gatorade.
So you can't just discredit somebody else's theory just because you don't agree with it. That one I can.
Electrolytes.
It's kind of
that one I definitely, your thing, yes, I will.
But when does the talking rational and making sense become boring? What, like, I mean, the whole thing is in Idiocracy. He's trying to prove, he's like, this guy sounds boring. I don't care. And like
it's
when is that?
Like that? But is that not part of it?
Well, and also it's getting to where people start believing the shit that they're making fun of. Like that's what happened with 4chan and the alt-right.
Yeah.
Is that it was a bunch of 4chan like fucking trolls that started just posting racist memes to each other and then started playing it being an alternate right wing and then leaning into that satire to the point where they started believing their own bullshit and becoming an actual movement of Nazi sentiment.
Oh, no, we indoctrinated ourselves.
Yeah, they literally convinced themselves that they were Nazis.
Self-indoctrination.
Yeah,
oh, buddy.
That's
oh,
a fucking boy. Thing that exists now.
Oh, man.
It's buck wild to see. And The thing is, especially maybe especially when you indoctrinate yourself with your own satirical take on a thing, real hard to convince yourself otherwise of that's not correct.
That's right. I mean, on the plus side, the whole Musk debacle has given us a plethora of new social media networks. Like, for instance, you can find me on Mastodon and yep. Hive and Quorum and Powwow and Key Party. So
Key Party.
You look up Jonathan Blade on any of those sites. Boom, I'm right there.
I will be looking up Key Party specifically.
Key Party. Okay.
I'm on Mastodon. I have not done exploration on the other stuff quite yet, but what I'm finding is smaller groups. Like, I'm on a couple new Discord channels that are a lot of
Discord
fun.
Discord is actually the way to, like, for a network. Discord is the way to go. You have a heavily curated audience who actually has an interest in interacting.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good for promotion, but I think as, like, an entity, an existing entity, Discord is the way to go.
I think I'm going to redo that. I tried to open up Slack for GUI showrunners and, like, regular panelists and stuff, and nah. No one's doing shit on that, so. But, yeah, I guess that's the end of this episode. Us talking about 2022 and being old men about
things
it.
Things that are important to old
Hold
people.
Hold on. Yeah. I know you want to cut her. Biggest disappointment, real quick, pop culture-wise, Halloween Ends.
Man, what? I thought we were,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. I'm not letting that get away.
Fuck. You. Fuck you. Fuck you. You 5-6 team writing pieces of shit. Fuck. God damn it. All right.
All right, we're good.
Oh. God. Only one.
That is not nearly as much of a disappointment as my man Taika taking a fucking L with Love and Thunder.
That's dude, definitely second dude, to bro, Halloween Ends.
That was such a fucking disappointment.
I realize how much I did enjoy it because it's been free. It's been on Disney Plus.
I'm not rewatching that movie.
Yeah.
That is a tire fire of a movie.
I'm not rewatching that.
I rewatched Halloween Ends for Mouths of Madness, and that was rough, and I had to do that. I realized I don't have to watch Love and Thunder ever again.
Yeah. Okay, we are way over time. let's button this up. But yeah, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Geeks Under the Influence, our last episode of 2022. Not our last episode ever, or of regular releases. We are going to be doing our final free play episode of regular releases at the beginning of 2023 to, you know, shoot the shit and talk about whatever and say goodbye. And then occasionally having a few releases a year after that, but this is our last of 2022. I want to thank everyone here and all of our other panelists from Geeks on the Influence for a great brunch. Emotions were had. There was celebration in the air. It was a great fucking time.
It was lovely.
And it's because
Do
we
you
got
want to put that picture up on the page or
well, I'm gonna double check about the video before that gets posted, just to make sure that everybody involved is okay with that being posted. But like, there's pictures that for sure we're going to put up on our social from the brunch. I've been just too hungover today to do anything on social media. But yeah, we'll check that stuff out, and we'll find you next time for the last main episode
of
Geeks Under the Influence.
But there will be a bit of a break through the holidays. And
We got holiday shit to deal with first. So but check us out probably sometime around mid-January, I think, when we're looking to release. So we'll see you then. I'm Mike the Hobbit.
Low down.
Join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit.
GUIPodcast.com.
Guy love.